Right, this is Crime Squared. I'm Katie.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is episode 9.
Woohoo! Back at it. I feel like we've taken a really long break from it, even though I don't think it was that bad. 2 weeks?
I think it was 2 weeks, yeah. But
Or
you
was it
get out
a
of the
week?
rhythm of it.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back at it, though.
Me too.
It took me
I
a
feel
little bit to
like
find my story this time. I was like, I just kept falling down the rabbit hole. And so I would read one thing and I'd be like, oh, this looks good. And I'd read another. I'm like, wait, I'm off task. I have to go back to what I'm supposed to be doing. I did it like every day this week. It was awful.
please tell me there's no cannibalism in this one.
No, no. And actually, my story is not even, I'll go first this week, by the way. My story is not even a Mexico one this week.
What?
I know. I got to reading and I was like, I really like this. I feel like people would appreciate something like this being talked about. But I guess I'll just get going.
Yeah, go for it.
So this one is based out of New Mexico. I hope you still cover it because there was a lot of good cases that I was reading all over the interweb about New Mexico. But it was about the old Maine State Pen that was there.
Okay.
Does that spell at all?
Uh-uh.
Okay. They had, let's see, they were established in 1956 and they had a riot. It was one of three, and this was the worst one. I believe it was in 1980. Yeah, February 2nd of 1980. And now, apparently, since 98, when it was abandoned, people say that it's haunted and all that, but this riot was one of three major riots that they had. And at this time when this riot happened, they were housing some of the most violent inmates that they had in the state. And so this location, since it's abandoned now, they've used it for, like, they do tours of it. And then there's actually been quite a few movies that have been filmed there. One of them being The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler in 2005. And then
Okay, I know that movie.
All the Pretty Horses in 2000 and The Book of Eli in 2010. All of those movies were booked there, or booked there, filmed there. And The Longest Yard, actually, well, some of the movies, I put it in my notes. There's been like probably like 6 to 10 movies that have been filmed there. And one of the movies was paying like up to $1,000 per day that they were recording. So I don't know if that's
Oh
a
my
lot of money.
God.
World, but to me, that's a crap ton of money. I'm like, who has just $1,000 to film? And I mean, you got to think some of these movies take forever to, you know, to get it all perfected. $1,000 a
Right.
day seems like a lot to me, but I don't know.
We don't have that kind of Hollywood money, though, so.
That's also true. They did tours between May and October, and although they like the folks that still kind of own the property and that do the tours, none of them admit or own up to the fact that they might think it's haunted or not. But people that have been there have said that they all of a sudden see doors closing, or they feel like presence of somebody there. I mean, obviously, since it's abandoned, it's not like they have any cleaning crews coming in or like working AC and heaters and all that. So to feel a breeze in there,
Why
especially with all
wouldn't you want to be like, yeah, it's haunted, and
yeah.
start like having ghost tours and stuff? I'd be on board with that.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, if somebody's being charged $1,000 to film there, what is that money going towards if they're not doing anything with it? I mean,
Probably going in their
there's a whole
pockets.
website. Yeah, but you think you'd advertise it a little bit more to, I don't know, publish a book or signs or something. I don't know. But I mean, they do tours. I think they only do them like the first weekend, maybe 2 weekends of the months between May and October. But I don't know why they only do them from May to October, especially because it's in New Mexico. So it's nice all the time.
Yeah, I was thinking it's probably hottest between May and October. Why wouldn't you do it like the opposite?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. But so I did not look into how much time any of the people that were involved in the riots actually ended up being sentenced for it. I was more or less covering like some of the victims and like what happened with this particular riot.
Okay.
So the max capacity for this facility was 900 beds. So that wasn't even including like the guards. That was just 900 people that they could house as inmates there. This particular night, they had over 1,100 people there.
So they were over capacity.
Oh, way over, yeah. And on top of that, I mean, their toilets were crappy. They had minimal toiletries. Depending on, if you were obviously a guard, you had access to all of that good stuff. But as an inmate, even though you're an inmate, you still should be able to poop on a potty and go
Yeah,
pee in
you
a
should
potty.
have basic human rights.
Yeah. And they were not getting that here. So most people, I think, when they think of a riot in a prison, they're like, oh, well, they're bad guys, that's why they're in jail. So they're just trying to get out.
They're
Whereas all of
bored.
these guys, yeah, these guys just wanted to be able to have basic human rights in there. So it's a little different. I think that's why it kind of stuck out to me, because I used to work for parole. And so I think a lot of when I would tell people that I work for parole, they're like, oh, you're a badass. I'm like, not really though. Like
It's
people
not
when they're
quite what
getting
you think it is.
Yeah, when they're getting released from a facility, like they have no idea what to expect. Some of them that have been in there over 5, 10 years, like this is a whole new world that they're being released out into. And sometimes they need people to just be able to guide them and for them to be able to vent to besides their therapist that's just going to be like, I hear what you're saying. This is how you should handle that, and just be like, yeah, dude, I totally get it. Like, I mean, even just being kind of secluded during COVID pandemic. Like when I have to talk to other adults that is not my friends or my regular
Well,
family, I'm like, oh, word vomit. I should not have said all of that.
I can't
But I could.
imagine going into prison and like you had rotary phones in your house when you went into prison, and now we
Yeah.
walk around with cell phones and we can look stuff up on the internet.
Yeah.
And I would assume you don't have much of that in prison, especially
Yeah.
if you were like a pretty bad guy, you got a bad sentence. I
Yeah.
couldn't imagine just coming out and being like, okay, so now you plug in your car? What? I'm really confused here.
And you can just push to start it. Like, what is that?
Right. I haven't advanced to that yet. I'm
Well,
not
me
on
either.
that level.
When I go car shopping, I'm like, okay, where's the, oh, it's a button. I don't know. I don't know if I'm prepared for that.
My parents both have push starts in their car, and when we went to Vegas and they watched our son, we left my car with them, which is still a key start. And my mom put Lakin in his seat, and she said for a good 5 minutes she was looking for the push start.
Oh my
And
gosh.
finally, my 2-year-old from the back seat goes, "Key, Gigi, put the key in." And he was just
That.
dumbfounded.
So funny. Your poor mom. She's like, oh,
Yeah, duh.
right.
My daughter has a regular car.
Can you imagine if Lakin was old enough to like text him and be like, oh my gosh, you'll never guess what Gigi just did.
I can't imagine with that kid's sass.
Oh,
It's gonna be bad.
when he gets older, him and your mom are just gonna clonk heads like crazy.
Oh, probably. He loves her, though.
Well, maybe in an extra loving way.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so apparently these inmates were making their own brew while they were in the facility.
Pretty
So I
sure
was
probably
looking
they're
up.
doing it in the toilet.
No, they had like jars and stuff. Like, I mean, they had stolen stuff from the kitchen and were making like, I don't want to say a good brew, but they were using like actual ingredients. Like, I know one said that they were using yeast as an activator, obviously, and then they had some type of raisins and other things. So, I mean, they did this regularly, so they were drinking while they were locked up. So I'm like, I don't know how you finagle that, but kudos to you. But so throughout the last couple of years, I guess they have been talking about that they wanted to overtake and riot with the guards and whatever because of how crappy the situation was. I didn't see very much that the guards were treating them like crap by any means, but I mean, when you don't have good food to be eating, or at least nutritious food, I mean, I understand that we don't want them having full gourmet meals, but I mean, still, you got to stay healthy and keep them alive, you know?
Right, nutrition of some sort.
So this one particular night, they happened to get extremely rowdy, and as they were drinking, they were getting louder and louder and becoming very vocal about their plans. So obviously, the guards knew what was going on. So little by little, one of the guards, his name actually is Michael Schmidt.
Oh no.
I'm not gonna lie, that was like the third thing that popped out. It was like, Alicia, you have to do this. I was like, okay, why not?
For those of
Spell
you
different.
that don't know, that's my husband's name, is Michael
Except for
Schmidt.
the Schmidt does not have the D on it. It's two T's.
Okay.
I'm assuming you still pronounce that the right way, or the same way, I mean.
Yeah, there's a ton of different ways you can smell it, spell it.
Oh my gosh. Well, I tried to look just him up, but there is over like 500 Michael Schmidts in New Mexico, just in New Mexico. So I'm like, there's no way I'm digging through all
No, it's literally one of the most common names in the United States.
that. Good job, mom and dad.
Right.
If you're listening to this, I mean that with nothing but love. So he was a prison guard there, and he was going around and shutting off the lights for, bedtime at the end of the night that day. And while he was in the last section, I think, the inmates closed the door, the gate right in front of him, and the lights were off. So he stayed there with them. So they held, he, I think he was one of the first ones that they held hostage. This riot lasted about 36 hours. And it was one of the deadliest episodes of riots in New Mexico history.
My God.
Yeah. So they ended up with 33 people that were dead. Thankfully, none of them were guards. I mean, regardless, I don't, they shouldn't have, there shouldn't have been 33 people that died, but they had over 200 people that were injured. And then they had obviously a crap ton of damage. So a lot of the prisoners actually killed each other, either for snitching or child molesters that were there. The snitches and the child molesters were usually on like high lockdown, kind of kept away from everyone else because normally those are the ones that are sat out first to off them no matter what the situation is. So
Right.
during this riot, they were the first ones that were taken out. So, I mean, they were all under high surveillance the whole time and they were under, what is it called? Like high security. Not because they were a danger to themselves, but like people were always trying to get at them.
Gotcha.
There was quite a few people that were mutilated. There was one that was completely severed. There was one that lost a couple limbs. But again, it was inmates against inmates at that point. There were a total of 12 guards that were taken hostage, and these guards were beaten severely. Some of them were sodomized, and there was a couple that were raped, but none of them were killed. There was actually quite a few inmates that were very, okay, they were very protected or protective of the guards that they did have hostage, mainly because they didn't want the guards to die on their watch because that would make the situation way worse for the ones that were involved in it. And by the end of everything that I read, it actually was only a small number of inmates that wanted to do this riot. There was actually a lot of people that died trying to get or got hurt trying to get out of the building because they didn't want to be a part of it. So that says a lot too, because I mean you could tell that there were people trying to get out, but they had a lot of wounds like to their backside. So like other inmates were like attacking them for trying to get out. So I guess for a lot of these people to be left traumatized is a huge understatement. So in movies when they talk about like you're going to the shoe,
Yeah, like solitary
they
confinement.
yeah, so they had they called it the hole, but the inmates were to enter naked. And so mind you, this happened in the 80s, so I don't know what it's like now, but from what I've seen in movies and read in other articles, back in the day whenever you went to the shoe, and in this case the hole, you went in with like a very minimal of anything. Like it was literally like a cot and a toilet, and that was it.
Right,
And
you get your four walls and you're done.
yep. So these guys had to actually enter naked. So they were stripped down right before they went in. They were given one thin blanket, a metal cup, and a toothbrush. And then at bedtime, they would receive then they would receive a nasty ass mattress that probably hadn't been cleaned in forever. They usually only received one hot meal every 3 days and minimal food in
Every
between.
3 days.
That's just for a hot meal. In between, it was just very minimal food. Like, I'm assuming probably like maybe a slice of bread here and there and maybe some water. But I mean, they didn't even have a toilet. Like, they had a hole in the floor and no toilet paper.
Don't you need water like every 48 hours not to die or something like that?
I mean, you'd think so. So maybe he got enough water for him to for them to survive. But I mean, and I'm not saying that Michael went through all of this. I'm sure his situation was a little worse. But I did read that all of the guards that were held hostage, all of them, like, this is how this guy Michael knew that the inmates had overtaken the whole facility, was because he knew that there was only soda machines, like, in where all the guards had access to. And that there was only, like, some of them were getting medicine even for like their high blood pressure, or if they had a headache or whatever. Like, so they were taking care of the guards, like, they wanted them to survive. But that's how Michael knew that they had overtaken everything, because they were getting things from the kitchen and the medical room and, the front where
Things
you
that
check
they
in at the
shouldn't
car.
have access to.
Yeah. So, I mean, little by little, they were overtaking it all. But so in a regular cell, they had access to bathrooms, food, and toiletries, but at no point were they ever at, did they ever have access to TV, radio, or books. They had outside breaks, but it was like the size of a dog pen outside. So, I mean, if you made it out first, you got to enjoy some sunshine. But if you didn't, then you were pretty much just stuck, unless you wanted to be butt touching somebody else.
But that's not funny, but it is.
Know, I know. The only really activity that they were offered to do was to write letters, and a lot of them didn't have anyone to write letters to, so they were pretty much just
Oh.
to write. Yeah, so it's super sad. I mean, I know a lot of from when I was working in parole, I know this stuff. But I mean, even if they didn't have anyone to write to, they usually have a program in the facility for you to have like some type of pen pal, or to at least write your teacher or whatever. But they weren't allowed like any books. They weren't allowed to learn anything. Like, they had no education, like nothing. Like, they were literally just there with another criminal, and that was it. That was
That's
pretty sad.
nuts.
Yeah. So, a poor quality facility. And I mean, obviously, if they had mattresses, thin mattresses that had not been washed or cleaned in probably years, I mean,
Probably had bed
yeah.
bugs and
I was just
all
gonna say, they had
sorts of things.
cockroaches and mice, and it was just a super filthy facility. So
Ooh.
with prison conditions, obviously the inmates were not happy with how they were being treated and just how awful they were having to serve out their sentence. I mean, at that point, like, if I'm kind of living with those circumstances, just put me out, like, out of my misery, because that's just, I
What
mean, I at
decade?
least want to write to someone.
What decade did you say this was?
This was 1980.
And they didn't have people like checking stuff like that?
I mean, they probably
Like from the
did, but
government? Because don't they get like government funding?
some, I mean, you'd think since it's a state pen that they would have, but this is
Right.
also one of three riots that they had. So I don't know if this was the first, second, or third, but I mean, if it's one of the, this is one of the deadliest ones, and it was 33 people that had died. And on top of that, it housed some of the most violent inmates. Do you think that they would have been keeping a lot more of an eye
Like
on
for
it?
tabs, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I mean, I'm not ever saying that a riot is okay in a jail facility like that, but I mean, if they had been complaining about their living situations like that, and I mean,
Nothing
literally
is being done.
basic human rights are being taken away at this point, and nothing's being done about it, I would have stepped up to say something as well. And it's sad that I had to get to that type of a situation, but they did what they had to do. They had these guards as hostages and were using them for negotiations to try and, say that they wanted better bathroom facilities and access to learning things. I mean, they were even asking for just books so that they could pass time to read. I mean, if
Right.
that's what they're asking for, like, I think it's a little messed up, just a little. But the inmates set fire to paperwork. They overtook the kitchen, administrative offices, the whole medical area. They even took radios from the guards. And Michael said at one point, when they took him hostage, they covered him with like a shirt or like a pillowcase or something so he couldn't see him. And as the inmates were taking over, he could hear the inmates giving each other code names through the radios. So he's like, I could kind of tell who it was from their voices because I think Michael had actually worked there for maybe 3 or 4 years prior to this riot happening. So he got pretty familiar with a lot of the voices, but he still got beat pretty bad. At one point he said that he thought he was getting prodded with a broom, but it ended up being a shank. And since he had been beaten so bad, he couldn't feel that it was stabbing him every time they prodded him with it. Yeah, like how awful is that?
Like he had so much nerve damage that he couldn't even feel it.
Yeah, like when he left the stretcher. Like they ended up releasing him after 22 and a half hours. And he left on a stretcher face down because of how bad his wounds were from on the back and the sides. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I read an article somewhere that he had said while he was in there and they were beating him that he never once prayed to God to like help him get out of the situation. He just kept saying that he hopes that God will take care of his family and that they don't have to see and endure what he has been going through while he was in there. He's like, I never knew if I was going to get out or not, but if I, regardless, like, I hope my family is taken care of. Like, that's what he was thinking. Like, what a good man. Like,
Yeah. That's heart-wrenching.
Oh, yeah. And he served 5 years in the U.S. Army prior to this.
How long did the whole riot last?
A total of 33 hours, I think I said 33, 36, 36 hours, sorry.
Okay, so like a day and a half.
Yeah, and he was released after 22 and a half hours.
Okay.
So he had some success after his recovery. I mean, that was in 1980, and I think he's still currently working on publishing a book called Incarceration Without Conviction, 22 and a half hours of hell. So when he
Ooh.
left during negotiations, like there were some inmates that wanted to keep him in there and they're like, that's not enough of what we're asking for. Like, we're going to keep him. And then there were some inmates that were like, you know what? Little by little, if they're giving us what we want, or at least saying that they're going to give us what we want, we're going to start letting the hostages go. So eventually all 12 of the guards made it out alive. Some obviously were probably a little more traumatized than others since some of them were beaten more than others and some of them were sodomized and raped and all that. So he actually also saw a psychologist weekly for a couple of years because he was suffering from PTSD. So he at some point actually went back to the facility and he said that he wanted to hear the gates close with him walking out of there alive and like mentally and emotionally prepared to handle that. I was like, that takes a lot of balls. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I know people in relationships that they're like, oh, I need all this closure, and then they go back to it, and then it just like opens up a can of worms. Like, you just can't. Sometimes you just don't get that kind of closure. So even though it's abandoned, being able to hear that gate close and those locks, you know, lock up, like something about just envisioning that, like, oh, I was like in tears as I was reading some of this stuff. Like, I can't imagine how awful that would feel being held hostage against with inmates that you work with on a daily basis, especially when you spend most of your day, most of your week at your job. So in a way, they're kind of their own family, you know, like you always have your work family and
Right.
dudes like completely turn on him. And I don't know, he was one of the first few that got released. So kudos to him that he went back. Some others weren't as lucky to heal and they're still pretty angry and working through a lot of that. Obviously, I don't blame them. But in this book that he is working on publishing, he talks about how he doesn't think that the state cared about him or any of the other guards. No one visited them when they were in the hospital, when they were going to court for all of this. The state
What?
pen that they were only paying for their minimal like hospital stay. So they weren't paying them any extra. He was one of the few that had to retire due to medical reasons from his job. So
Like
they basically,
disability.
yeah, they basically let him go because he couldn't work anymore. And they didn't even pay him any extra for it or be like, here, sorry for your troubles, like nothing. Like they just
Oh, hell no. I would have sued the shit out of them.
yeah, it was awful. And so he said, I know that I wasn't the only one. And so to know that you devoted this much time to an employer and a facility and working with inmates like this, and then for the state to not even say thanks, sorry that you went through this, like to not even get a visit in the hospital, like could you imagine how awful that would be?
You put your life at risk
Every
and
day. Every day.
You couldn't even get paid out your full benefits. They should have been like, no, you stay in the hospital as long as you need.
Yeah.
Get as much psychiatric help as you need because you're probably pretty fucked after something like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, even just reading, like, I found somewhere a list of all of the people that had died while they were in there. And in his book, he talks a lot about how awful he feels for the few inmates even that died. He's like, you know, they're still human beings. They still have families and, you know, things
Just
like
because they
that.
were in prison doesn't mean that they were all completely terrible.
Yeah. I mean, they still had a right to continue on, you know.
Right. They were serving out their sentence, and unfortunately, that was cut short.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, we are back. We had a little snafu being moms. We had to take a
Yay.
break. So Alicia recorded her part on Monday and now we're or on Friday and now we're Monday now. And we're
Part
back with
two.
mine. Yes, part
You
two
know
of
what?
episode
At
nine.
some point, prob like I have been looking up a couple like ghostly Christmas stories, and it would be pretty neat if at some point we got some of those really good long ones where we actually have to break it up into different episodes.
Yeah.
Because some of those Christmas ones that I've been have been finding are very lengthy.
Christmas. We have
I
to get
know.
through Halloween first.
I know, but around Halloween, people expect spooky stuff. Around Christmas time, everybody's like, oh, it's all gonna be jolly, fa la la la. No, there's gonna be death.
And with you, there's probably going to be somebody eating somebody else.
Probably.
But by that time, I
Anyway.
can drink, so I might be able to handle it a little bit better.
Hey, now we're talking. I'm double fisting it over here from my lovely husband.
Yeah, she is drinking for the both of us, and I'm over here sipping on water because I got another 5.5 weeks to go.
Yeah, don't worry. Tomorrow I will be drinking a little extra for both of us.
Because it's somebody's birthday.
Have no idea who's, but I'll celebrate
Okay, old lady.
it.
I'll be 29 tomorrow.
I feel very young though, so I'm very grateful for that.
I'm glad somebody in this group does because I for sure don't.
Oh, you're also extremely pregnant.
Yeah. But we could see each other again this weekend, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, I am excited about that. It
Make a
better not be
nice
raining on
6 hour
Saturday.
trip.
It's supposed to be raining all week, so it better not rain on Saturday because I'm ready for some pool time.
I hope not. But I looked at the weather and it was like set high in the upper 70s and low in the 60s.
Enough for us to just go put our feet in the water.
I was thinking like bring a jacket.
What? I have actually worn pants. Do you remember when I told you
Well,
way back
see?
when that I was going to move down to Florida and I was just going to get rid of all of my pants? And you were like, no, you want to keep some of them. When I was going through our stuff to like my clothes for the garage sale a few weeks ago, I was going through Jesse and I was like, yay or nay, like keep it or get rid of it. And he's like, you want to keep some pants. And then the first night we went out, I wore jeans. I'm like, who
See?
am I? Like willingly putting pants on. That's not me, but it's been nice. I'm actually wearing
I
yoga pants
told
right
you.
now. The other night we sat on the balcony and I had on one of Jesse's like one of his college crew neck sweatshirts. And it was just like nice and snug. I was wearing shorts, but I was just like, oh, this is so nice. I love
Like
it.
cozy.
Yeah. So it's a
Yeah,
pretty
you guys actually get fall up there. We don't really get fall.
They one of the other tenants here said that last winter there were people that would just go hang out at the pool and they would drink like hot cocoa or whatever with just their feet in the water. No one would like splash around, but so it was just it was chilly enough to actually bundle up like wear a sweater, but it wasn't it was still kind of not muggy but still nice enough to put your feet in the water only for a little bit. I'm okay
So
with that.
humid.
Yeah. Which it was muggy AF today. Oh my gosh. I did my hair to go to the interview and instantly I could hear my hair start and all of my hair around is starting to do that now. So I was like, well, I wonder if my ethnicity is going to pop through a little extra here.
Probably. Because
I'm
Nebraska is so dry.
going to be a whole new woman in a year. You just watch.
Okay, so I'm gonna get going on my story. This week I did Kansas.
Ooh, yay.
I'm starting to move over that way now that you don't live there anymore, so it doesn't freak you out as much.
Thank you. I appreciate
I did that purposely.
that.
Do you know who BTK is?
Yes. Oh, I have
Okay.
forgotten this.
That's why I told you to get a drink this week.
I knew. Okay, so I knew of his crimes. Didn't know necessarily that he was like so close to me from when I lived in Nebraska until like I think it was like when we first did the podcast, maybe the second episode. My volleyball team was telling me about him, and I was like, "Who is that?" And they were telling me about his crimes. I'm like, "I've heard of those crimes before." And they're like, "Well, this is the guy." I'm like, "Oh, I guess I never put those two and two together." And they were like, "You do a true crime podcast, and you don't know who this is?" I'm like, "Well, it's like I know all these songs, but I don't know who sings them." Like. It's the same thing to me, but yes, I do know who that is.
We're
And I'm
not
very excited
Murderpedia
about
over
it.
here.
Yeah. I do know a lot of stuff, but not that.
Okay, so I did BTK, or his real name is Dennis Rader, and he was born on March 9th of 1945 in Kansas, and he grew up in Wichita, Kansas. His parents were Dorothy and William Rader, and he had three siblings, all of which were boys. Rader's parents believed in kind of the latchkey style of parenting. You know what that is? Okay, so latchkey is like they didn't keep quite a close eye on their kids. They just kind of let them go, and when the streetlights come on, then they need to come home. They didn't keep a tight leash on them, is basically what that means.
Like most of
They're
the kids in most neighborhoods. Well,
right,
not
yeah.
now, but you
Not
know,
now.
when we were growing up, yeah.
But back then, yes. But because of this, I guess they were a little bit beyond the latchkey style because Dennis often felt neglected and later resented his mother for it, which he says is part of why he was the way that he was. From a very young age, Dennis Rader showed troubling signs such as torturing and killing animals,
Why
which
is
is
that
always.
always a thing? Why do when people like hurt other humans, why do you gotta start with animals? Like, what the hell did they do to you?
Probably to see if they can get away with it first and see if it like satisfies what they need to get out without killing a human.
I mean, like, I guess I'm thinking like dogs. Like, we do not deserve dogs. Like, they are just so sweet. So for people to want to hurt animals first. Especially when animals are just helpless, humans can usually fight it a little bit, be more vocal about it, you know, so they make you feel
Yeah.
worse. So I don't understand starting with dog with animals.
Well,
I'm okay though. I guess I don't want to understand that.
he started with like squirrels and rabbits, and then he escalated to like cats and dogs. So like he went small animals to big animals,
That's
and
sad.
then humans.
Yeah. Too far. Too far.
Yeah, too far. Shouldn't have started at all.
Yeah.
All right. So, whenever we hear about this kind of behavior, it's normally an underlying issue that's going untreated, and when untreated issues happen, they normally lead to more serious problems such as this. Along with his sadism towards animals, he also cross-dressed and spied on his female neighbors when they were changing.
Creep.
While doing so, he would act out fantasies and often masturbated with rope and bindings around his arms and necks. Next.
Creep.
Neck.
He has more than one.
Yeah. He's multi-headed. Later in between murders, Rader would cross-dress and wear women's masks, pretending to be his victims while acting out his sexual fantasies.
Of
Rader
fantasies
never,
are these?
like sadist, like
Ah, okay.
torturing. Do you know what BTK stands for?
Yeah. But I guess I'm thinking of like when you watch movies and people like act out like sexual fantasies, first of all, it usually doesn't end in like murder and stuff like that. So when it comes to like his situation, he's acting all of this stuff out because he's just real messed up in the head, or like he has been rejected by females. But in this case, he was married, right?
Yes, he
Yeah.
was married. We were going to get to that.
So it wasn't like he wasn't getting any. Most people, like most men that act out these types of things, is because they've been rejected so much and don't have regular intimacy and sexual activities like that, right?
Most of the time, yes. I think how he was brought up had a little bit to do with it as well.
Okay.
And there were some underlying issues going on that went untreated that I think contributed a lot to this. So, yes and no. Some people just, the chemistry in their brain is not right and they end up going this much further.
Yeah.
Because it never went treated. He never
Yeah.
got seen for it, nothing.
So
So,
mental health is important.
yes.
If you ain't
See
right up there,
something, say
talk to someone.
something.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so he would act out his sexual fantasies during this. Raider never went out in public, where he could be seen wearing the women's clothing. So he wouldn't do like drag or anything like that because he said his community was not accepting of this. So, following high school, Rader attended Westland University for a brief period, but due to poor grades, he ultimately left. And then he served in the United States Air Force from 1966 to 1970. And after being discharged, he moved to a suburb of Wichita called Park City, where he worked for a local IGA supermarket in the meat department. And his mom actually was the bookkeeper at that store as well. So she probably helped get him the job there too.
Did he receive any honors when he was, is that how you say that? Honors when he was in the military?
No.
No? Okay.
I think he served his 4 years and then he was out and done. They didn't like ask him to come back and do any more. So a year after being discharged, Rader married Paula Dietz in May of 1971. And after they got married, they had one boy and one girl. This must have given him motivation to do more with his life because he went to a local community college where he graduated with his associates. And then he later went to Wichita State University and graduated in 1979 with his Bachelor's of Science with a major in Administration of Justice. Ironic.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I was gonna say, I didn't know that. It's crazy that he dropped out because he wasn't good at school, but then he did get good at school, or was he just maybe decent enough to pass?
Probably he just barely squeaked by.
So I was gonna say, a lot of people, I mean, I know when I went to college, I definitely went with the mentality that I have to get like perfect scores on everything. And then towards maybe the last semester of my bachelor's, I was like, you know what? I don't even freaking care. It's been a long
That's it.
time.
I'm
I
gonna
just
get
want
my
to
degree
pass.
regardless. I was the same way. I was definitely the
It
same way.
kind of held me up doing my associates for what, 3 years altogether. I just really took my time with it. So next time, for future reference for anyone that wants to get a degree, just do it as fast as you can. Don't take little by little, because then you're just gonna burn yourself out.
If you know what you want to do,
Yes, if you know what you want to do. Yes, that's a good point.
I would recommend the first year you just get all of your prereqs out of the way. Because I thought I was going into nursing, spent an entire year doing all of that, nursing classes, some in-hospital stuff, ended up hating it because they kept putting me in an old people ward and everybody just kept dying. So I
Ended up
quit.
getting a degree in what?
Business, human resources, and sales.
It's too funny.
So, if you even think that you might not want to do what you want to do, just do your freaking prereqs, people. Just take it easy the first year. Do your prereqs. Get them out of the way because you got to do those no matter what degree you get.
Oh yeah. Hey, and also that's one other thing that Katie and I have in common is we both have the HR experience. Background education part of it.
Maybe that's why we like psychoanalyze these people so much.
Hey, so I don't let Ariana listen to our podcast episodes, mainly because most of mine consists of cannibalism. But she asked me, so our favorite podcast I listen to all the time. There was one episode, maybe 2, 3 weeks ago, that one of them started talking, and I was like, oh, nope. And Ariana goes, Mom, and we were walking in the store, so I usually have one AirPod in and she has the other. So if we're not listening to music or listening to a podcast or whatever, and she goes, Mom, do you think that guy over there at like 10 o'clock, do you think he's a killer? Do you think he's a serial killer on campus?
Oh no,
What do
she's
you
too
think he's
young for
from?
this.
And I'm like, oh, what have I done, child? Oh no. And then I'm like, no, you can't think that way. Like, yes, I know. She was, well, you told me the statistic the other day of everyone and so many people are probably some type of killer. I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, that's not wrong, but we don't walk out into any area and think I'm gonna spot out the killer. Like, you don't do that. Like, you're here
I mean, if
just.
you see something a little sketchy,
Yes,
then
but
I'd be worried, but
she's just walking through the store like, Mom, I think that one, maybe that one, maybe that one. What do you think they did? And what do you think they did? I'm like, no. Nope, we can't do
you're cut off.
this anymore.
Started her a little younger than you wanted to, I think.
A little bit, but at least she's aware. I mean, I don't think she really means it, but she's thinking about stuff, you know?
The possibilities. Be aware of your surroundings.
Yes, that makes me
At
proud.
least she's thinking about it.
Tully walk into
I don't.
the alcohol aisle at Walmart and she's like, Mom, which kind of vodka do you like again? I'll go grab it for you.
Oh.
No, you can't do that.
No, not till you're 18, honey.
My goodness. So many pros and cons.
All right. So, following graduation, he had a few different jobs before he landed one with the census as an operations supervisor, which gave him information to sensitive information in the area before 1989, and that's when the federal census took over, and he lost his job then with them. And then in 1991, Rader changed career paths to be a dog catcher. In this position, he took pleasure in bullying single women, and one even claims that he killed her dog for no reason.
Bastard.
It doesn't get any better. So this will come in later. There wasn't a good point to put this in, so I just kind of like jumbled it in here. So Rader was a member of the Christian Lutheran Church, and he had been elected president of the church council. He was also a Cub Scout leader. But later on, after his arrest, his wife was actually granted an emergency divorce without any kind of waiting period due to the issues that were surrounding this.
Yeah, I don't blame that at all.
And his daughter actually still writes to her, writes to the father.
Yeah, that's creepy. She forgave him and everything, didn't she?
Yeah, she stated her childhood seemed normal and that they were a normal American family. Little did she know at the time.
Yeah. You'd think she'd be looking back on it and be like, well, I do remember some situations.
Yeah.
How do you not know your entire life? Like that, no. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah. So that kind of skipped far ahead. We're going to go back to the start of his murder. So the first one happened in January of 1974, and his first kill, or rather kills, was a family in which he killed four of them, the Otero family.
And how old was he?
He would have been, let's see, what's 74 minus 45?
Híjoles. Da, na,
Math is not our strong suit, people. Hang on. We both had a very long day. 74 minus 45. He was
it's
29.
Monday. And it's Monday.
It's It is the Mondayest Monday ever. So he was 29 at this point.
Okay.
The victims were the father, Joseph, 38, the mother, Julie, 33, the son, Joseph Jr., who was 9, and daughter, Josephine, who was 11. The victims were found by their three older children who had been at school at the time of the murders. After the murders, Rader wrote a letter detailing how he killed the Otero family and hid the letter in a book at the Wichita Public Library in October of that year to later be discovered. Yeah, so he just hid it for whoever to find.
Scavenger
He
hunt
didn't
for no one.
have a specific person in mind to find it. He was just like, I'm gonna just stick this here and see what happens. So, over the following 3 years, Rader killed three more times, all of which were women. Among these were Catherine Bright, who was killed April 4th, 1974, Vian Relford, who was killed March 17th, 1977, and Nancy Fox, who was killed December 8th, 1977.
And all of these people were from Kansas, right?
Yeah, all of this
Okay.
took place in Kansas. He didn't move around at all.
Okay.
So, fond of writing, Rader wrote to the local TV station KAKE in Wichita in 1978, confessing to the murders of the Otero family, Bright, Relford, and Fox. He, of course, didn't give his real name on this letter. He actually gave several options for what his murder name could be, and they somehow picked BTK. That one stuck. So, for those of you that don't know what BTK stands for, it's bind, torture, and kill, which are was his preferred method to murder people. And in this letter to the news station, he demanded media attention and included a poem entitled "Oh, Death to Nancy," which was one of the victims. And within this poem, he admitted to being influenced by the Hillside Strangler and Jack the Ripper.
It's crazy to me that even just like doing my own research on this from way long ago, and then hearing you say it all, and then from what I've heard from people that kind of knew him, how he was such a he went from such a family man to being in the service to this, and he wanted people to know, but he wanted to be anonymous for it. So, like, yeah, his daughter says she didn't know about it for the longest time, but the fact that he was demanding media publicity, like, he wanted to be caught, like, he enjoyed the
He enjoyed the thrill
people.
of it.
And that's weird for being. I mean, I'm happy that he confessed, and I'm happy that he was caught, and that these families got their closure. But at the same time, like, he just enjoyed it. Like, and for his daughter to not think that anything is that fucked up about it, that she's still writing him. Like, what is wrong with you?
I think
Like, are
she
you
knows
doing
that
some shit
it's,
too?
I think that she knows that it's messed up, but she forgave him. Which could be part of a mental illness too, on
Apple doesn't
both
fall far from the
sides.
tree. Yeah, that's,
Right.
you can forgive him all you want, but all of these families that he hurt, I bet they don't forgive you, especially because you're still writing him. Like, that's not okay. I mean, I'm
No.
happy that her mom wasn't like, well, you can't write him anymore. I mean, I know she's a grown adult, but still, I would be like, think about what he did. Think about how he was as your
Right.
father, and he took away somebody's daughter and son and father and sibling.
While being your father.
Yeah, like that's like a whole extra level of fucked up. Like, yeah, what he did is fucked up, but it's still super fucked up that she's still involved with him like that.
I don't
Okay,
even
continue.
know. I mean, I can't say that I would be. Maybe she just needs that kind of attachment to him. But
Girl,
I
get yourself a
mean,
sugar daddy. You'll be just fine.
it takes a special kind of person to be able to forgive someone, even your dad, like that for something, for these kinds of crimes.
Yeah.
But several of Raiders' potential victims got lucky due to circumstances beyond Raiders' control, such as construction work or neighbors being home. There was, I didn't put it in here, but there was one lady that he stalked for like over a year. And when he planned to kill her, he couldn't do it because there were construction workers all around her block. So she would have been as good as dead if they hadn't been doing city work around her house. And he got really, really upset about it.
So did he stalk all of his victims?
Most of them he did, yeah.
Yeah.
He stalked them before he killed them.
He was like really preparing it because he was working for that home security systems type of thing, right?
At one point he was, yeah.
Yeah. Come.
During a lot of this, he was working for the church, though.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So Raider's next victim was Maureen Hedge, 53 years old, and she was found on May 5th, 1985. She was found between North Webb Road and North Greenwich Road in Wichita. She had, however, been killed on April 27th. So on this day, he killed her and then he took her to the church where he worked at and was the president of the church council, like I said. At the church, he took several photos of her body in various positions on a black tarp and in bondage to fulfill some of his sexual desires. He had prepared all of the materials at the church ahead of time in preparation for her being killed and being brought back there. After he was satisfied with the photo, he had taken her and wrapped her back up in the plastic sheet and dumped her body in the ditch. And for some reason, he nicknamed this plan Project Cookie. I couldn't find why he named it Project Cookie, but that's what he did. And this was the only one that he named, which was kind of weird. So 3 years later in 1988, someone wrote into the news station again about a local murderer of a family of three claiming to be BTK and saying that he did not commit those crimes, but admired the person that did. So this would later come to light that Rader had written the letter, but police have no trace or fact and do not believe that Rader committed those murders, but rather someone else did in a copycat manner.
Idiot.
Rader's last kill was found on February 1st, 1991. Dolores Davis, who had been killed on 19 January 19th, and dumped on West 117th Street and North Meridian Street in Park City. After this last murder, all was quiet for a while, and these victims and BTK were considered a cold case until new evidence was found. In 2004, Rader began communication series of 11 events with the local media that led to his arrest in 2005. The first was a letter written to the local newspaper, the Wichita Eagle, claiming he had murdered Vicki Werkle on September 16th, 1986, and had included some gruesome photos of her crime scene and had a copy of her driver's license. You okay over there?
I don't know.
Are you sure? In the
I
letter,
gotta
he
wash it
used
down
the
with more
name.
alcohol.
In the letter, he used the name Bill Thomas Killman, rather BTK as the initials. After this DNA collected from Wurgle was run, then after the DNA was collected from Wurgle, they then ran it against over 1,300 DNA samples of guys in the area, and they were actually ordered to destroy these samples later on from all of the guys because it didn't pertain to the case. They just did like a random sampling of everybody that they could find in the
Oh,
area.
okay, I follow.
But none of those matched because none of them were BTK. In May, KAKE TV received a letter containing chapter headings for the BTK stories, fake IDs, and a word puzzle. Following this, on June 9th, a package was found taped to a stop sign in Wichita on the corner of First and Kansas. In this package, there was detail of the Otero murders and a sketch labeled "The Sexual Thrill Is My Bill." In this, there were also another chapter list for the BTK stories. Chapter one, he titled "A Serial Killer Is Born." So he's just like leaving little breadcrumbs everywhere, and whoever finds it, finds it.
Yeah,
He
that's
has. It's
creepy.
very weird. He has no like one specific method. So the next month in July, a bizarre package was dropped off at the local library and contained odd material claiming he had been responsible for the murder of Jake Allen earlier that month. This was later said not to be true and was ruled as a suicide. So while he didn't take
So he's admitting to it, and then
Yeah, but he didn't actually do
the
that one. But the family of
oh.
three earlier, he said, "I didn't do it, but I admire the people that did it." It doesn't make sense. He's ping-ponging all over the place.
No.
So during his interrogation, Rader said he had planned a date to kill again in October. Sure enough, in October 2004, he had been stalking his next victim. A folder had been dropped off to a UPS in Wichita that contained disturbing images of children in terror and in bondage on them, and a poem that was threatening the lead investigator, Lieutenant Ken Landwehr, as well as an autobiography with both true and false information in it about Rader's life. In December of this year, a different package was found in Murdoch Park that had Nancy Fox's driver's license in it, which had been noted as stolen from the crime scene. And a doll in bondage with a bag over its head was found in the package as well.
Dude,
In,
awful.
yeah, just a little bit. In 2005, in a Home Depot parking lot, Rader attempted to leave a cereal box in the bed of a truck containing a message. But the owner of the vehicle disregarded it and threw it away as trash. Which, let's be honest, in Kansas, if somebody put something that just looked like trash in the back of your truck, you'd probably throw it away too. That was my
Yeah.
first thought. Because
Yeah,
I've
I
had
would have.
people throw like empty bottles or a beer can in the back of my truck. Just
Which,
like,
I mean,
eh,
I'd be pissed if
whatever.
they're doing it, but I'd much rather it be the back of my vehicle than, on the street or sidewalk or whatever.
True, but I was thinking
Humans
about
are
it and I'm
awful
like,
to this world.
when I drove a truck back in high school and I didn't have a cover on it or anything, people would throw shit in the back of that truck all the time. I wouldn't even think twice about it. I would just throw it away. So
Yeah.
I can't blame this guy. I would have thrown it away too. It's just kind of like the way of the country, I guess.
Yeah.
You just go ahead and throw it away. So, the Home Depot surveillance was able to pick up that the vehicle that had placed the box was a black Jeep Cherokee. The next month in January, postcards were sent to KAKE, the news station, and another cereal box found containing another bound doll. In the postcard writings, Rader asked if he sent in a floppy disk, if any of the information on it would be able to be used to be. To track him or his location. Well, of course, the police told him no. This was not true in a response in the Wichita Eagle newspaper. So they told him, no, if you send in a floppy disk, we won't be able to track you. Of course, they'll be able to track you, dummy.
Yeah, I was gonna
Like,
say, you were in the service and you don't really ever suspect or question how things get tracked.
right. I mean, any third grader could be like, oh yeah, there's metadata
Yeah.
on there. Like, you can't. What?
But we
What?
know he's not all there, so we'll just go with
True.
that.
True. So on February 16th, 2005, Rader sent in this floppy disk to the news station along with a gold-colored medallion necklace and a copy of the cover of Rules of Prey, a book about serial killers. After receiving the floppy disk, police were able to find traceable data that led them to contain the name of the church he worked at, Christ Lutheran Church, and that the last person to modify the document was someone named Dennis. The police did a little more digging and found Dennis Rader worked there. They then drove by his house, and sure enough, in the driveway was a black Jeep Cherokee.
No.
Even with all this information, they still needed more evidence to detain him for these crimes. At this time, Rader's daughter was attending Kansas State University and had recently had a pap smear done. The police were able to get a warrant to test this DNA from his daughter against the DNA found under Wirkle's fingernails, which came back as familial DNA, providing their point further that Rader was their guy. Based on this, what they were able to arrest and detain Dennis Rader, which this is the first time that I had ever heard of that being used, like someone's pap smear
Yeah,
being used
I.
to match to a murder scene. I would have never thought of something like
That's
that.
insane. And she, did she know about that? That they used it for that?
I don't think they did at the time because I think she would have tipped her dad off.
You think so?
I think so.
I
Because
wonder if she would have
once.
been like hesitant about it, like, no way, that's not possible. But like, sure, go ahead, because I have nothing to hide. I don't think my dad's capable of it. And then when it came back, I would have been like, wait, no way. There's just no way.
Maybe. I feel like if I was in that position, I would be really weirded out. Like, why don't you just ask me for some blood? Or why are you going to
Well,
take my vaginal swab?
leave my juices alone.
Right, that's exactly where my brain went. Oh my gosh. Which I knew that, like, OBs knew, like, they know when you have sex and stuff, or like when you go to the gyno yearly. But I saw a TikTok, and this chick was like recording herself while she was getting a pap, and her doctor was like, have you noticed any kind of increase in discharge? Sorry if you're a dude listening to this, just like skip forward 2 minutes. And she was like, no. And she was like, oh, okay, well, you just, there's just a lot of it. She's like,
What?
that's not discharge. She's like, oh, have you recently had sex? Why would you have sex like right before going into your OB like that? Come
On.
That was my thought, but I was like, I would be mortified if my OB
Lucky.
was like, you have a lot of discharge.
She's
Oh,
like,
that's not
and
discharge.
that's a new one for the books. Let me jot that one down. Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Yeah. All right. I'm done.
That poor
mean,
Obi, she's probably like, are you serious right now?
yeah, I mean, I guess it happens. Like,
I mean, people schedule those OB appointments. Like, I don't know. I schedule mine like every 6 months as soon as I was done or whatever, yearly. Like,
yeah.
I just schedule my next one. So, you know, it's coming. It's not like you just find out an hour before. So, like, you couldn't have done this like last night.
But she didn't think that the OB was, or the gyno was gonna know. Like, you did a little freaky deaky in the car before you came inside, or whatever.
Mean, you do you, boo-boo. I mean, if it's all still there and you weren't using protection, are you trying to get pregnant? That's how this happens.
I mean, I can't say anything. I'm, 9 months pregnant right now,
We know how that
but.
works. We do.
But Okay, so Rader was arrested midday on February 25th, 2005. On the way to the station, an officer asked if he knew why he was being taken to the station, to which he replied, "I have my suspicions." Really, Sherlock? Yeah.
Jesus.
While Rader was being detained, his home and office at the church were searched, and items such as his computer and pantyhose were taken back for analysis at the station.
Did
Yeah,
you
I
say
saw that.
computer and pantyhose?
Yep.
Jeez,
I
this
mean, he used
guy.
both for these crimes, so.
Oh, he was always ready to go, apparently.
Oh,
What an
yeah.
idiot.
At one. I don't know how many of y'all do your husband's laundry, but at one point, wouldn't his wife have been like, "Why the fuck are there pantyhose in my husband's drawer?"
Yeah.
Or
Or
like
maybe
a
look at the
dress
receipts.
or a thong or whatever. Like, if he was cross-dressing, I don't know how far he took it. But at one
I'm sure
point, wouldn't
he
you be
left some
like,
evidence behind.
right?
Like I say that, but like when my husband goes to the stores, no matter where he goes, if they ask him if he wants a receipt, he will say no. Not that he's hiding anything, I think. But he just doesn't like having receipts. Like it's just whatever. So I'm assuming back in the
I'm
day
the
you didn't
same
really have that
way.
option. You just always had a receipt. They always gave you a receipt. And from
Was
what
this in
I remember,
2005?
yeah,
It wasn't
you
that
just
long ago.
crumple it up with your cash and put it in your pocket and be gone. So why go through your pockets when you're doing
Okay.
laundry?
First of all, psycho. My husband does that too. Just crumple up a receipt and put your extra cash in your pocket. No. The next person can wait the 10 seconds while you put your cash away.
Yeah. I just know that because my mom used to do my stepdad's laundry. And when he would come, because he would be gone for the week and come home on the weekends, and she'd, go through his pockets, not like being Snoopy, but doing laundry and always find all these receipts and all of this cash. And she'd just be like, it is awesome doing his laundry when he comes home. There's always so much money in there and a
I
bunch of
mean,
receipts.
I do make money, but I also pull out probably like 30 screws and nails and all this
Which,
other stuff
thank
from his
goodness, you're going
construction
through his
job.
pockets. Could you imagine that crap going through your washer and dryer every damn day?
I still find one or two that I will miss. Like,
No.
he wears a lot of cargo shorts,
Yeah.
so it'll get like stuck in the corner or something, and I won't feel it.
Get him a fanny pack on
He
top
would
of
not
his
wear that.
construction like equipment
He
belt.
has a tool belt. He just
That's
doesn't
what it's
use
called.
it.
Tool belt. That's what I meant.
Yeah, not a fanny pack.
But a fanny pack might work. Getting one of those strap ones, one of those Vera
Vera
Bradley
Bradley.
ones that you have. Yeah, those fancy ones.
Do you think my husband would wear that?
No, but maybe just send him a duct tape one. Maybe that'll get him going a little
No, he.
bit. No, but I know what I know it. I know how it goes. Yeah.
No. So after the team searched and held a press conference, they said the bottom line is BTK is arrested. So before they even finished his interviews, they were like, "We got
Yeah.
him. This is the guy."
Yeah.
So 3 days later, on February 28th, 2008, Dennis Rader was charged with 10 counts of first degree murder. Following the charges in March, a local newspaper stated that he had confessed to those 10 murders, but none outside of them. Rader's bond was set at $10 million, and at his arraignment, Rader did not speak, but his lawyer put forward a non-guilty plea.
So he
On
admitted
the
to all
date,
of these. He confessed, but then in their first
yeah, he confessed in the interrogation, but then when the time actually came for the court case, he put forward a non-guilty plea. But then
that's
on
a
the date of the
insanity.
trial,
Oh,
on the date of
jeez.
the trial, however, they changed his plea to guilty
Thank
because Rader
goodness.
was able to recall every murder with detail and showed no remorse for any of it.
I'm not surprised.
So, what do you think his sentence was? And Kansas did not have the death penalty at this time.
Out of all the things I ever looked up on him, his final sentencing is not one that I was ever Googling. Why?
This isn't a quiz.
I know, but I looked him up. Well, I've looked him up a few times, but you said Kansas does not have the death penalty.
They didn't at this time, no.
At that time. Anyway, I'm gonna say life. Life times like 10.
Life times 10. I'm sorry.
Hacking up along again.
You done?
I
Okay.
love how Eclipse looks up at you like, yes, Mom, I'm sorry.
God. Okay, so on August 18th, his sentencing took place where he gave a 30-minute rambling, leading some to believe that he was a psychopath.
Well, we all know
During
he is.
the trial, Robert Mendoza, I saw a blah blah blah, blah. Don't side eye me. God. Anyway, during the trial, Robert Mendoza, a psychologist, was brought in, and Rader was diagnosed as being a narcissistic, antisocial, and obsessive compulsive personality disorder. Are you there?
Yeah, you look frozen on my screen.
Yeah, you're frozen to me too. There we go.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, so he did get diagnosed with all of those things,
Not surprised.
but they did not put forward an insanity plea because he knew what he was doing and he showed no remorse for it.
Yeah, fully competent.
Right. So Dennis Rader was sentenced to 10 consecutive life sentences.
I didn't even look that up, yo. Whoop.
With a minimum of 175 years.
Thank God.
So he is now at the El Dorado Correctional Facility in solitary confinement where he will likely stay.
Is that in Kansas? Did you say in solitary?
In solitary confinement, yeah.
So he's never seeing anyone.
No, well, he's starting to get a little bit of his rights back. He gets 1 hour a day outside. And 3 showers a week, and
That's more than I get half the time, and I'm a mom that's
right.
not psychotic. Bastard.
In 2006, due to good behavior, he started gaining privileges to like TV, books, radio, that kind of stuff.
Basic human rights, blah, blah, blah.
After his sentencing, all of the surrounding states began to look into their cold cases to see if any of them might be able to be contributed to him or linked to BTK, but unfortunately, none of them were found. They still, to this day, are looking at cold cases to see if any of them can be connected to him, because some of them still pop up, that kind of thing.
No.
And at one point, they were trying to get him on another one, even in any of the surrounding areas, so that they could get him on death row, but it just hasn't happened.
Well, it might with his
Maybe.
track record.
So, as far as media that's been written about him, Stephen King said that his book, A Good Marriage, and the film based on it were inspired by BTK. Thomas Harris wrote a book, and the character of Francis Dolarhyde in Red Dragon was based on BTK. I haven't watched it yet, but I want to. Criminal
No.
Minds, Episode 15, Season 1 in 2006 is based on Rader's murders. And then a character based on Raider also appears in the Netflix series Mindhunter.
I was gonna say there's okay, so I was talking to my in-laws about this when we were getting ready for our garage sale before we moved. And there was a couple series, maybe episodes, that aired on, was it Discovery? No, not Discovery.
It could
I
have
don't
been
have cable,
Discovery.
maybe. Okay, I don't have cable, so I don't know really what all these channels are that might have shown this, but my father-in-law that used to be a cop, he said that he has watched quite a few of them. And I don't know if it was like he watched them back then or like recently, but he says that every once in a while they still, when they cover psychopaths similar to BTK, they always say, remember at once upon a time there was BTK from Kansas, and then they talk about him. And a lot of people say that he had inspired them to doing these psychotic things. I wish I remembered what. I mean, there's been quite a few. So I'll have to watch the one on Criminal Minds. I haven't ever watched that one. I don't know that I've seen the one on Netflix either. Is the one on Netflix fairly new? I love Criminal Minds, and I know we just talked about Penelope not so long ago, so I'm like, oh, I gotta get back.
Yeah, where did my thing go? Criminal Minds, the one on Netflix, it doesn't say. Is Mindhunter.
Those are all probably really good to watch, though.
Let me see.
Those always hit a little
Mindhunter.
extra intense when, I mean, I'm not from Nebraska, but I'm from Nebraska. Being that close is definitely, it strikes a little extra nerve. So it'd be nice to
See that
see how recent that stuff is.
2017.
Has he talked to anyone anymore since all of this stuff has been released and since his sentencing and all of that, like to offer more detail or more confession or anything like that, do you know?
I didn't really look into that.
I just wonder with some of those people once they get sentenced, if they like 10 years later are like, hey, so remember that one case that I did or one murder that I did? Like, here's some more information about that. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever really like out to hear that kind of stuff, but I'm sure that they can still write media and all of that and see if anyone bites, but then you just make them rich in prison, so yeah.
True. So I did do the Chinese zodiac, and he's a rooster.
Really?
And he's supposed to be, this year of the rooster is supposed to be very observant, hardworking, resourceful, courageous, and talented. And roosters are very confident in themselves, which obviously he showed by emailing or mailing and dropping off all these packages.
And leaving notes at the library. Ugh, can you imagine if it
Yeah.
would have been a kid that opened that? Like, hey, mom, look what I found in my book.
Oh my God, yeah. And it says that
Traumatizing.
roosters are always active, amusing, and popular within a crowd. They are talkative, outspoken, frank, open, honest, and loyal individuals. They like to be the center of attention and always
No.
appear attractive and beautiful. So, I mean, it's
Idiot.
pretty spot on.
Yeah. Whenever I hear about being the center of attention, I always think about the rooster that, I mean, when you said rooster right now. Remember a couple years ago when we got chickens and we
Yeah.
got five chickens? I think we had five. I don't remember anymore. But we named them all like Jersey, Tink, Lupe, and then I think we had a Juanita because we thought they were all females. Well, then all of a sudden Juanita became Juanito. And Juanito was a jerk. He was so mean, and he was Jesse's favorite.
I mean, I did that when I had a guinea pig when I was little. I named him Charlie. And then I didn't want to change his name when we actually found out he was not a he, it was a she. So
How do
then it
you even
became,
tell?
we had to take him to the vet at one point.
Oh, okay. I was like, I
So then
wouldn't know the
Charlie
difference.
became Charlie Girly.
Charlie Curly. I was gonna say, at least Charlie is a pretty, it's a name that can go both ways.
Didn't know that. I was like seven.
No, yeah, I don't blame you. That's funny.
Charlie Girly.
Oh man.
Works,
Hey,
but
one of I noticed you can tell we're both moms because look at what we're using for our hair.
this is actually yours.
It. Oh man. I'll
I've just
always do
been
my hair, but
using
as
it.
soon as I come in and I'm saying I'm getting comfy clothes on, you always know my hair is going back in one of those clips.
Oh yeah. You left it here, and I was like, you know what? She might not get that one back.
You can always tell when I've been somewhere because I either leave 10 ponytails or a clip.
Or your hair. You and Sue Hay.
I love you. I'm sorry.
I
Hey,
love
at
you
least
too.
now it'll be short hair when I come down.
Yeah,
Which
for
I'm loving, by
now.
the way. I think I'm going to cut it up shorter, like soon.
Really?
I love it. Oh my gosh. I may. I'm just kidding. I will. I can't even finish that sentence. I will have long hair again. It'll just be a while.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that is episode 9. Go rate, review, and subscribe us.
Yes. Oh, by the
Whatever.
way, if you have any suggestions for, I think I say this every time and no one ever says anything, but I'll try some Mexican stories. It'd be really cool to have some Mexican serial killers or ghosty stories or haunted, like really anything. Something that someone is aware of. Anyone. It doesn't
And
even
now
have to be
that
just done
we
in Mexico. It can be just a Mexican killer in the US even would be all right. Just send some stories my way. It'd be nice.
spooky stories, like would be great for October.
Yes, our next recording this week is going to be for the first one of October, right?
Yep. This was our
Woohoo!
last one in September.
Oh my
So.
gosh. Maybe we should try and do, if we get some people to email us in and do some, maybe we could do our first listener story.
I would love to do that.
If you've had any ghostly experiences in your home or family or anything, send it our way. That'd be pretty cool to do a listener episode sometime in October.
Or any updates. If you knew any of these people, we actually had one reach out to us that I want to do when we do our listeners episode that I
Yeah.
jumped up and down and almost peed my pants
Yeah,
when this guy emailed us and I was
that
like, oh my God.
was a fun one. Yes,
I was so baffled that somebody actually knew one of the people. But yes,
Yes.
reach out to us. The email is in the show notes, or we are both very active on our socials and Crime Squared Social.
Yes. And we'll be getting
And
Twitter this week as well.
be on the lookout for that. We'll post that too.
Yes.
We'll put that in the
So
show notes as well.
like,
But
subscribe, share. Let's go, guys. Get us
review,
going.
get us some stars. All right, that's
Okay,
it.
bye.
Bye.